was getting ready this morning, and I received a phone call. The phone rang, and it was Laren. And so he wanted me to let you know, to thank you for your prayers. Really, they've, felt the uplift under their wings going into the entire week, knowing they have a church that loves them and has been praying for them. And then I heard a sweet voice said, "Hi, Pastor John." It was Lori too. So she's doing well, and she sends her thanks too. So she greatly appreciates the prayers. She said she's, they try and get you up sooner from surgery, I guess, and she's walked all the way around the floor. So that seems soon, but it's encouraging, and so things have gone well. So let's keep praying for them. Just pray that God will watch over them. But it makes you think what a difference a week makes. I mean, this time last week, we were all didn't know what the outcome was going to be, and so thank the Lord for His protecting Lori and seeing her safely through the surgery. Well, if you take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy 3, we'll be looking at verses 10 through 15 this morning. 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 through 15. Let's start reading in verse 10. "But you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you continue in the things you learned and became convinced of, knowing from whom you learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, and Lord, how it speaks into our lives. Lord, thank you for it, for it's a word received with faith that saved us. Lord Jesus Christ, you saved us through your great work. And Lord, we want to acknowledge that this morning, that salvation is from the Lord. It is all from you. And we want to study your word and to know what you have for us. And so, Father, I pray that you would teach us this morning, that you would just help us to understand what it is you're saying in these verses. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, Paul warned Timothy of the perilous times that were coming, of the difficult times that were coming, and that were already there, happened throughout the church. And we talked about how these perilous times have been unfolding throughout church history. And he lists for us what it'd be like. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of pleasure instead of God. They would be abusive. They would be unforgiving. they would have a form of godliness, but they would deny its power. And there would be many false teachers that would be there in their presence and in the church, and that would lead many people astray from the truth of God. And just as Paul had warned Timothy and is warning Timothy, Jesus Christ had warned his disciples of the very same thing would happen. And we looked a little bit last week, the parables of the kingdom, the parables that Christ said there are going to be tares among the wheat. There's going to be leaven in the flour. The church would be full of false believers and false doctrine. And these are important realities to be aware of so that we can protect ourselves, so that we can protect ourselves, we can persevere. How can we stand firm? How can we stand in these times? Paul says to Timothy, but you, and he calls on him to continue in what he'd learned. Timothy was to be different from these men. He was supposed to be different from what they were like in life and in action. It was to be different from their empty religion. And he calls on Timothy to continue to be faithful, even while these others were going from bad to worse. So in this text, we're going to see three principles or three things or about standing firm in perilous times, standing strong, being immovable. And these don't just apply to difficult seasons in the life of a church, but ultimately the difficult or the bad times in our lives just as well. So what principles can we discern about standing firm in perilous times from verses 10 through 15? Well, standing firm in perilous times, you must, first of all, you got to follow the faithful men and women. Follow the faithful men and women of people. People that have gone before you, faithful around you. And we see them. We note their examples. And Paul lists for us nine aspects or nine things that we should strive to emulate, which Paul contrasts himself to these people that were in the church, these false leaders. And after sharing with Timothy about the ungodly people and the false teachers in the church in verses 1 through 9, he encourages him with this example, and he says, but you followed my teaching conduct. These were dark times, and there were evil people in the church, but Paul was faithful. In his faithfulness, he was encouraging Timothy to follow him. And we feel as if though we should give up when things are difficult. We look around us, not very much promising. It's just time to quit. It's time to give in. We looked at last year, we looked at the life of Joseph in Genesis. If you remember, we were there. And God allowed Joseph to suffer for his faith. He allowed him to suffer betrayal. It was betrayal from his family members. He let him suffer from slavery. And it wasn't until a time of suffering, his feet were afflicted with fetters and irons, the text says in Psalm 100, I think it's 103, it says Joseph was afflicted in that way. It wasn't any easy stay. He wasn't doing an easy 10 years. It was hard. It was hard labor that he had to do there. And it was then that God exalted him to the second command over Egypt. And God allowed him to suffer various things in his life, various tragedies. But God's ultimate purpose was to bless him. And God is always working. He's always working to bring what will bring about God's glory. He is the most glory to him, and he's always working for our best good. And that's encouraging to remember in times of suffering, in times of trial, in times when the false teachers seem to be multiplying. God is always working. We need to be faithful to persevere during the hard times. So who are you tuned into? I guess we don't use that. We don't really have to tune into anything anymore. This is old radios. We tune in to the television. We'd have to tune in. But who are you watching during your times of trials, times of difficulty? Well, it's good for us to have believers. Now, we look to Christ. He is our ultimate guide. He is the one we look to. But there's other people around us, other believers that are striving to follow Jesus Christ, and we can take inspiration from them. We can look to them. Must imitate them. The word followed in verse 10 means to follow a person so closely that you are always by the person's side, conforming your life to the person. You're following them so closely that you're always by the person's side, conforming your life to the person. It was literally used of following a person as he goes somewhere and of walking in his footsteps. So what are the faithful characteristics, or what are the characteristics of the faithful that are demonstrated here and through Paul's characteristics? Because again, he said to Timothy, but you followed my teaching and my conduct. That's the first one. Paul lived a life that he, you know, his life, no doubt, was in a fishbowl, but he invited other people to watch his life. If said to the Corinthians, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, but he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He's saying, follow me, follow my example as I follow Christ. And Paul, he wasn't a perfect man. He's the same person who said in Romans chapter 7, the things that I want to do, that I wish I'd do, I don't do them. And the things, you know, I wouldn't do, get this straight. The things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. That's a paraphrase. That's a loose paraphrase. That's in Romans chapter 7. So he wasn't perfect, but he was pursuing perfection. And we need examples like that. People are honest and open, and they're striving to be like Christ. And this faithful teaching that Paul did doesn't refer to his public teaching, but also what he was in private, what he taught Timothy in private. And these models around us, they challenge us when we're in sin. They encourage us when we are down. They affirm us when we've done what's right. We must follow these examples. Are you studying God's word so as to teach it to other people? Are you intaking and ingesting the word of God? And then, do you have an outlet? Are you living it? Are you living the word of God? Paul said to Timothy, follow my way of life. And Paul was a person who practiced what he preached. And we know that when we're hypocrites or we have visible hypocrisy, it only serves to drive people away from the truth. Timothy was aware of how Paul used his time, how he used his maybe recreation. I don't know if they recreated back then, but he had watched him up close. He had seen him. He'd seen his devotion. He'd seen his prayer life, his ministry. All of it was open and laid bare before him. And we got to model those types of people if we want to stand in perilous times. And are you practicing what you preach? And Paul said Timothy followed his purpose also. In Philippians 3:8, Paul said he counted everything a loss to know Christ. That's a paraphrase too. But that was his primary aim in life. It was his primary goal in life. Even his ministry was driven by this, his unflinching goal to pursue Jesus Christ and complete the mission that he gave him. He said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, he said, not that I've already attained this, that is not, I have not already been perfected, but I strive to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself having to attain to this. Instead, I'm single-minded, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching out for the things that are ahead. With that goal in mind, I strive for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And the faithful men that we are to be watching, they aren't driven because of money or fame, but pleasing God. Is that your only goal in life? Is to be pleasing to the one who created you, the one who saved you? Then Paul, he names several fruit of the Spirit. I don't want to say fruits of the Spirit, but several fruit that are part of the fruit of the Spirit that were there, that were in his life. He says faith, patience, love, endurance. Those are divine characteristics in his life that were born out of his relationship with God. Faith probably refers to his faithfulness before God. He was faithful to the task God had set before him. It may also refer to faith, that is, his faith was growing, his trust in God was growing. Patience probably refers mainly to how Paul had to deal with difficult people around him. He was constantly patient. He was forbearing with other people. And love refers to an increasing love for God and for others. And that love was seen in his life. And really, it was quite radical. The people that he had, we read about him pursuing to death the way. I mean, he's pursuing these. He was a hater of God. And now he loves him. He loves God. And he loves the followers of God. He loves his fellow brethren. Timothy had witnessed that. And that should be a clear characteristic in our lives, that we love the brethren. We love people, and we're concerned about them. Perseverance is another ingredient. Persevere means to bear up under. And to bear up under something difficult. And his ministry opened the door for criticism, mocking, poverty. There were hardships. We read about them. I think of Philippians and other Corinthians, other places that he had to deal with. But he persevered through every one of them. He bore up under this weight that was upon him. He endured them all. He was a man of character worth modeling. Verse 11, Paul adds various sufferings he endured, which Timothy no doubt was aware of the suffering that he had undergone in his life. Persecutions and sufferings that happened to me in Antioch, in Iconium, in Lystra. He says, I endured these persecutions, but the Lord delivered me through all of them. And he mentions three specific sufferings in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. In Antioch, Paul was thrown out of the city for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's Acts 13, verse 50. At Iconium, Paul was almost, killed. He was almost executed through stoning. Acts 14, verse 5. And in Lystra, Paul was actually, he was actually stoned, and he's left for dead. But God miraculously healed him. I mean, he's back alive. And that's Acts 14, verse 19. Through all those things, God delivered him. And it must be noted in those specific cases, it wasn't God's will to keep him from those persecutions. See? God gives him grace. He gives him ability. He gives him the power to live the Christian life and the grace to endure them. And it's often similar for us. We're in a trial and we think, surely the wind has blown long enough. But it keeps blowing. And God gives you the grace to withstand, to bear up under, to deal with. And God knows what we can bear and what we can't. He knows we need to trust him more. He knows we need to glorify him more. Those are all things that God knows, and he's working in our life. So Paul willingly accepted trials without, being angry at God. He wasn't angry at others. He didn't lash out at others. So how do you handle trials in your life that keep coming in and out? They draw you closer to God, or have they driven you away from him? Have they driven you away from his word, or are they drawing you closer? Is Jesus sweeter than he was the day before? Are you experiencing that growth through the difficulties and the hard times? Well, so that's the first one. We should follow the example of faithful men and women that have gone before us. The second one is to stand strong in perilous times. We have to wait for it. Expect persecution. Expect it. It's going to come. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. What types of suffering will godly believers experience? And Paul not only shares his experience of persecution, but he warns Timothy, look, all who live godly are going to experience the same. They can expect it. And these persecutions come from outside the church as well as inside the church. And we see that through Paul's experience. They come from outside the church, as in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, but they come from inside the church as well. And it's implied by Paul's reference to evildoers and imposters going from bad to worse. And it's interesting. I've looked at this verse in the past, and I've always known, you know, but evil men will go from bad. You know, I use this as a sign. You know, people taught for many years post-millennialism, that the world is going to get better and better and better, and pretty soon the world is going to get so good that we'll usher in the kingdom. That by me, my wife being in subjection to me, and my children all being behaved well, and we're going to be a witness, and the world's going to get so good. But this verse says, evil men in the last days, they're going to go from bad to worse. So they're not going to get better and better. I mean, that's why I believe in a premillennialism. People are going to get bad and worse. And people in the church attacked the Apostle Paul. In fact, 2 Corinthians it's essentially, if you read through there, it's a defense of his minister, of his apostleship before the Corinthian people. This is a church that he founded. And Christ similarly was crucified, and he was established. I mean, he was crucified by the established church of his day. They persecuted Christ, killed him. And we'll experience this in the contemporary church as well. There'll always be people in the church without true faith who oppose the message of salvation, who oppose the true doctrine of God. And it comes not only from without, but from within. And we know that there's going to be spiritual warfare that we have to battle. Well, why will believers be persecuted? What causes this hatred? We'll go here. I'll read this quickly. John 3:19-20 says, now this is the basis for judging, that the light has come into the world and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil deeds hates the light and does not come to the light, so that their deeds will not be exposed. And the reason for this persecution is pretty simple there. A godly life exposes the sin of other people. A godly life exposes the sin of other people. If you're living righteously and say, I'm not going to like that. I don't like to be exposed. Instead of repenting of my ungodliness and turning to Jesus Christ and being forgiven, I would maybe seek to destroy the one who's shining the light on me and showing that my life is sinful. But that doesn't make any sense, but that's a character quality of fallen man, just in our natural state. And Timothy needed to hear this. If we're going to stand in this evil age, we should learn to expect persecution. It's coming. It's only going to get worse as we get closer to the return of Christ. It's only going to get worse. And you could say it doesn't mean that you will be beaten. It doesn't mean you'll be stoned. It doesn't mean that you'll be a martyr. It may be something simple. It may be you're considered strange. It may be that you're excluded. It may be you're hated for your belief system. 1 Peter 4 talks about that. But we must expect it. And that way, when we expect to not be treated fairly, we expect to be treated harshly, then we're ready for it. Yeah. Peter says, don't, as if something strange happened to you. You don't want to be surprised by the ordeal, the fiery ordeal that comes upon you. Don't become disillusioned and fall away. And so expect persecution. And we could talk about this for quite a while in ways that persecuted church is in the world, what they're experiencing. Well, third, continuing what you've learned, verses 14 and 15. Here he switches back to Timothy. He says, but you continue in the things you learned and became convinced of, knowing that from whom you learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And Paul calls Timothy to continue in what he learned. Well, continue what you've become confident about. You know, and he says, knowing from whom you learned them. I think the NAS may have said knowing who you learned them, but it's plural. You know, there were more. We already saw there was Lois and Eunice that had taught Timothy. It wasn't just the Apostle Paul. He had learned the truth, and he'd become convinced of them. And they were believers who taught Timothy the truth of the scriptures from infancy, since he was a small child. They taught him the holy writings, or the sacred writings. And that's why as parents it's important to teach our children from a very young age. They're not too young to ever learn. The word for infancy, it's referring to a newborn child. And that's a reminder that we should read the scriptures to our child when they're young. Maybe they don't even understand what's going on. They don't grasp it, but that doesn't mean they shouldn't hear it. Right after birth, saturate children with the Holy Scriptures. So all right, so Timothy needed to continue in what he had learned from infancy. If he was going to stand firm in these difficult times, these terrible times. And this is true for us as well. God's primary way to make us holy, God's primary way to encourage us when we're discouraged, when we're down, is to make us holy. It's his primary way is to protect us through the Word of God. And we'll look at that next week. It's able to make us wise, the sacred writings, or make us wise for salvation. And we'll see that it's able to train us for every good work so the man of God may be adequate. But that's 2 weeks. We'll look at that. The psalmist... After Paul warned the Ephesian elders, if you remember there on the beach, he knelt down and prayed with them, but he said about the false teachers in Acts 20, verse 32, he said, "And now I entrust you to the God and to the message of his grace. The message is able to build you up and give you inheritance among all those who are sanctified." It's a word of grace. It's God's word that will make them strong during those difficult times. And then the psalmist said, "Thy word," or "your word, I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." And Christ said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them in truth. Your word," or "thy word, is truth." And apart from daily continuing in God's word, we're not going to be able to stand in perilous times, in difficult times. We have to be people of the word. How can we continue in God's word? Well, we must believe it. Paul said to Timothy, said you've become convinced of it. Verse 14, many don't believe it, and many don't believe in the Word of God. They don't believe in what the Word of God teaches. They don't believe in a six-day creation. And it starts there, but you could go on and on. But we've been convinced of these things. Many people today don't believe in marriage anymore. And they don't believe in they believe in homosexuality and all that, everything. I mean, I guess I could just say LGBTQ, the whole alphabet. I mean, it's very sad. But the word is true. It's one man, one woman, till death do us part. And many people don't believe the word of God is inerrant, that it's without error. But we must be convinced, as Timothy was. That's a way to stand. That's a way to make it through perilous times. So read the Bible daily. Meditate on it throughout the day. Memorize the scriptures so that you can recall to your mind when you're discouraged or you're tempted or you're tested or you're tried. You've got it in there. And then obey it. Obey it when you don't feel like it. And make sure that you're teaching others. Apart from God's word, apart from continuing it, you know, we're not gonna be able to stand in these perilous days, in these difficult times. So build on the rock of God's word. So how can we stand firm in the difficult times, especially those within the church? Standing firm in perilous times, we must follow the example of the faithful men and women that have gone before us. Expect persecution and continue in what you've learned. Continue in it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we love it. We love your word. We love the author. We thank you so much for breathing this word. Lord, thank you that these words are true and tried and tested. And Father, we pray that as so many today are abandoning it, that we would hold sure to it. We would hold sure to Christ, our sure and steady anchor through the storms of life. Lord, we thank you for this passage. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.